Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Pei Gimel. We begin on Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, 10 lines down from the top with the words, Amrei Bei Rav Mishmei De Rav. So the Beis Medrash of Rav said over the name of Rav, Rashi brings down that this is Rav Huna, and this is important because it's going to contradict what we had said yesterday in the name of Rav. Yesterday we had said that Rav's opinion was that we ignore the Mishnah and we follow the Braisa. And we had pointed out that that's somewhat unusual. We normally follow Mishnah over Braisa, but we gave a reason for that. But today we go with the opinion that the Beis Medrash of Rav, which would be Rav's opinion, is in fact that the Halacha is Rav Yossi. We passing like Rav Yossi in the Mishnah, not like in the Braisa, but in the Mishnah, which holds that the androgynous, that he is Vadai, a male, and therefore he is allowed to go and be Machel as Ishto Betruma. He's a Vadai male, and therefore can make his wife, when he marries her, to eat Truma. So that is the opinion that the Beis Medrash of Rav, Rav Huna, says over the name of Rav. So he agrees that the Halach is like that Rav Yossi in Mishnah in regards to the androgynous, and also in the regards to the din of Harkova, which we'll see in a moment what that's referring to. It's a certain law dealing with grafting. Then we have a statement that Shmuel tells us two other dinim that where Halach is like Rav Yossi. Shmuel Amar, in regards to the Halach of Koshi, which we'll explain also in a moment, this is a Halach in terms of Dam, what Dam is considered Dam, that is Metame, or making a woman into a potential Ziva or not. We'll see this deals with pregnancy and giving birth. And then the second one is Bekidush. This is in regards to the Pasuk, says Pentukdash, which is the way we refer to making something Osir Bihano, and it has to be burnt. So that's called Kiddush. So these are four halachos, two of which Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, and two of which Shmuel says, we both paskin in these situations like Rav Yossi. Now, what are these four cases? So androgynous, Hodi Amar. Androgynous is simple. That's what we learned in yesterday's shir. That's the halacha which the Beis Medrash of Rav, Rav Huna, says that Rav paskin like the Mishnah, which we already mentioned, is an androgynous kohen, ma'achalis ishto b'truma. That's halacha number one, like Rav Yossi. The second one, Harkova. That's a din in regards to grafting. What is that? It's not. This is a Mishnah in Shvius. The Mishnah is going to give us several Tanoic opinions. The last one, which will be Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon. So the Mishnah in Shvius tells us, Tznan, a notin, you're not allowed to go and plant, be mavrichin. Mavrichin is an expression that we use for bending the tree into the ground, where it then grows new roots, and then we cut it from the original branch that it came from, and it will grow up as a new tree. That's a lashon of mavrichin, it's from berech, like bent over. Rashi elsewhere in a number of places tells us, lashon of mavrichin is kofef, to bend over, as says Moro. So you bend over one of the branches into the ground, it will grow new roots, and then you cut it back off from the original tree. That's called mavrichin, a certain type of grafting. Vein markivin, that's the more natural type of grafting, that you attach one sapling or one branch to another tree, and you grow from there a stronger new tree. So that's called markivin. That's a regular grafting situation. So you're not allowed to do this in the Shemitah year, because all of these would constitute planting in the Shemitah year, which you're not allowed to do. So you're not allowed to even do these erishvias, the Mishnah tells us, all these things, erishvias, in the year right before Shemitah, when, at the very end of that sixth year, that you're not allowed to do this in the last 30 days of the sixth year, because that's already considered the start of the Shemitah year for these dinim, and therefore you're not allowed to go and do any of these plantings or different types of grafting, the mavrichin or the markivin, in the 30 days before the start of the Shemitah year. And in fact, if somebody violated this, he planted, he did this type of grafting, bending over the tree into the ground, or he grafted one branch onto another branch. In all of these situations, the Mishnah tells us, yakar, you have to go, it's a knas, you have to go and uproot it. As Rashi says, the kokolta bishvias, because this is called planting, it's taking effect, it's going into the ground during the shvias time, which is the last 30 days of the sixth year, because it takes 30 days. So therefore, it's really taking effect into the Shemitah year. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. View the Omer, he says it's not 30 days, it's 3 days. If in 3 days it doesn't take hold, it doesn't go and root into the ground, then it's never going to do so. And therefore, the time period is 3 days, but we'll see it means 3 days before the 30 days, as we'll see in a second. That the 30 days that was mentioned by the Tanakhama means 30 days before the 30 days. There's everybody in agreement that the 30-day period at the end of the sixth year is considered Shemitah already. And therefore, when we say 30 days, it means 30 days before the 30 days. When it says 3 days, it means 3 days before the 30 days. And now we'll finally get to the opinion that we're interested in That's why this is brought in. Rav Yossi, Rav Shimon, both of these two Tanoim Omrim, Shtei Shabbosos. It's a 2 week period of time, which again will be 2 weeks before the 30 days. And that's what now Rav Nachman tells us. Yom Rav Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua. Rav Nachman says the name of Rabba Baravua. The Divri Omer Shloshim. The Tanakhama's opinion that it's 30 days. It means 30 days. Sura Shloshim Ushloshim. It's 30 days before the 30 days. Because everybody agrees that the 30 days at the end of the sixth year is considered already in the Shemitah category. So when it says 30 days, that first Tanakhama's opinion, it's really 60 days. It's 30 plus 30. The second opinion of Yehuda, which was 3 days, it's really Tzorech Shloshim. L'divri Omer Shlosha, it's Tzorech Shlosha Ushloshim. According to this opinion of Yehuda, it's 3 and 30. And finally, L'divri Omer Shtei Shabbosos, the opinion of Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, that says it's 2 weeks, so it's 2 weeks plus the 30 days. Tzorech Shtei Shabbosos and the Shloshim Yom. Now, we paskin over here, the Rav Huna, the Beis Medrash of Rav, said in the name of Rav that we paskin like this Rav Yossi, that it's 2 weeks in addition to the 30 days. Now we get to the two Piskei Halacha from Shmuel that were like Rav Yossi. We said, Ushmuel Amar, Bekoshi over Kiddush. What are these two things? So Koshi, what is this? This Nan. This is a Mishnah that we learn in Nida, which tells us the following Halacha. Now, if we see this inside in Rashi, I think it will be a little bit easier. So let's look in the Rashi, Dibra Amasko, Kama Yehei Kishuya, which is actually the Dibra Amasko, the next words in the Mishnah, that for Koshi, for this woman being in labor, that's called Koshi, the difficulties or the travails of labor, how long is that? Kama yehi kishuya. So what are we talking about? Let's look in the Rashi. The Kaimalom Benida, the Gemara in Nida tells us, Doraisa, from a din Doraisa, Hamaksha besoch yud alef shebe Nida lenida. We have to remind ourselves of the cycle in a Doraisa level. Midra Rabbanan today, the women have taken upon themselves Chumra after Chumra, and they take even Afilu Tipas Cham Kedah Chardo, even a little bit of blood, like a mustard seed, so they hold Zayin Nikim. You have to have Zayin Nikim. But the Din Doraisa is that a woman, when she first sees blood, so she's called a Nida for 7 days. Whether she sees all during the 7 days or only one drop during the 7 days, she's a Nida for 7 days. Then, at the end of the 7 day period of time, she's Tahora. She doesn't have to have Zayin Nikim. Next period of time is what's called the 11 days of potential ziva. And during this day eight through day number 18, so if she sees 3 days blood ritzufim, 3 consecutive days during that period of time, then she becomes a zova gedola, and then she has to count zayin nikiyim. So in this situation, getting back to the Rashi, we're dealing here, hamaksha, if this woman goes into labor during the period of time that would normally be her ziva potential period of time, the days after the 7 days of nida, before the 11 days are done. So, besoch yud alef, shebe nida lenida, v'ro adam gimel yomim ritzufim, and she sees blood 3 consecutive days during this 11-day period of time, machmas tsar vlada, if it's due to labor, ain't no barley day ziva. Then she doesn't count this blood as dam ziva, lios tricha sira zainikim, kioledes bezov, that she would not need to have zainikim like a woman who is a yoledes bezov, if she was a ziva, and then she gave birth, so then she'd have to have zainikim. Ella, yimei tumas leida, kioledes gredesa. So this blood that she sees during what would have been her ziva period of time, but if it's come kisho, if it's from labor, so then it isn't counting as dam ziva, and it's considered dam leida. Dam leida for a boy is going to be 7 days of tumah, for a girl is going to be 14 days of tumah, then for a boy it will be 33 days of dam tahara. Any blood she sees then is called dam tahara. This is all midaraisa. And for the birth of a girl, she's tummy for 14 days, and for 66 days, any blood she sees is dam tohar. It's called dam leida that doesn't make her tummy. This is dam tohar. So, in this situation, where she was in kishu, she was in labor, so then even though she saw blood prior to giving birth, for 3 consecutive days, what would have been making her normally a ziva, it doesn't do that over here. So that's the basic din that we need to know. And now, kami yekishuya, how long do we say a woman could be in labor that we don't count her blood as being dam ziva, but we count it as being dam leida, and it's not going to be metami or zazava that would require zayin nikiyim. So Reb Meir is the first opinion. Reb Meir omer, o arboim, o chamishim yom, 40 or 50 days. So the obvious question is, it's either 40 or is it 50? Why do you tell me if it's 50, then you have to tell me 40? So the Gemara in Nida tells us that 40 is for a healthy woman, and 50 is for a not-so-healthy woman. In any event, this is the period of time, it could be 40 or 50 days, for this kishoy to prevent her from going into ziva. Reb Yehuda omer, daya chodsha, it's that month. So you look at that month, from Rosh Chodesh of the ninth month, so any time that she sees during the ninth month, from Rosh Chodesh till the time she gives birth, that could be considered dam of Leida, dam Kishui, and not going to be dam Ziva. So that could be a short period of time or a long period of time, depending on when in the month after Rosh Chodesh she gives birth. She gives birth on the fifth day of the month versus the 25th day of the month, so it's going to be obviously a much longer period of time if she gives birth on the 25th day of her ninth month, starting from Rosh Chodesh of the ninth month. Fine. That's called Daya Chodesha. It's sufficient to consider the Kishui for that month. And finally, we get to the opinion that we're interested in. That's why this is brought down. Rav Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. This is the opinion of Rav Yossi, again, with his colleague, Rabbi Shimon. Rav Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Ein Kishui, we don't define Kishui, Yoser Mishtei Shabbosos. It can't be more than 2 weeks, 14 days. This is irrelevant to when it's Rosh Chodesh, and it's 14 days. That is the period of time of potential Kishui. So this is where Shimon says we pass in like this Rav Yossi, as well as Rabbi Shimon, for this din. And finally, the last din was Kiddush, which we said again, is making the item required to be burnt. It's supposed to be burnt by fire because it's not allowed to have hanoah from it. So what is this kiddush that we said the Shmuel Pasuk, the Rav Yossi did not? This is a Mishnah that we have in Kilayim. What is this Mishnah in Kilayim? We know, of course, that you're not allowed to grow grain in a vineyard. So if you grow grain in a vineyard, so that's a problem. So that's Kilayah Kerem, which is also b'hanoah. So this Mishnah in Kilayim tells us, what happens if I take my vineyard and I throw it over a trellis over your wheat field? So I'm a sachek gifano, I spread my vines that are mine, agabi tuoso shel chavero, and I put them over your wheat field. So now I've created, so to say, Kilayah Kerem with your wheat. So hareza kiddush. So I have successfully, so to say, made your wheat no longer edible. I've made it into Kilayah Kerem. And of course, I'm responsible for your loss. I caused this loss too. You lost $100 worth of wheat, so I have to pay you this $100 a week because I made it Kilaya Kerem. That's the opinion of the Tanakama, Diri Reb Meir. And again, we have Rav Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. Both of them disagreeing. Omrim, they say, we turn to pay Gimel Omid Beis. Eino the Moser, Dover, Sheino Shalom. I don't have the right to go and asser your grain. You planted your grain, you did absolutely nothing wrong. I then extended my vineyard into your grain field, into your wheat field. I can't asser your grain and make it into Kilaya Kerem. Now, the obvious question over here is, what do you mean, ain't Adam osu dover sheino shalo? How can I possibly not ask you? If I put, you have a cholent, and I throw milk into your cholent, I don't ask it? So of course I can. So Tosus asks this question. And Tosus says, in the top Tosus, ain't Adam osu, he says, vim tomar, umay shnom inose nevelo ocholov, betashu chavero. How is this any different than if I were to put something treifa, a nevela, or milk into your fleishich dish, or chalev, I put in chalev into your fleishich dish, betashu chavero, should answer, of course I make it osu. So how come here you're saying Eino demosu dovosh eino shalo? I can't make your wheat into Kilaya Kerem by putting my vineyard over it. But if I put milk in your cholent, then I do ruin it. I make it basa b'chalam. So Yom Re answers, it depends. The bedover atolu b'machshava. It all depends on intention. Who do Yomer hachi? I can't aser your grain because that's totally on my machshava. So if a vineyard were to sprout up on its own, it wouldn't make it into Kilaya Kerem. I'd have to be okir it. I'd have to take the vineyard down, but it wouldn't retroactively make it Kilaya Kerem. It's only when I allow it to be there that there's a potential for Kilaya Kerem. So to over here, the neighbor can't go and ruin your wheat field. Just like if the neighbor were to bow down to your cow and serve it as a avodah zarah, doesn't make it also by not. He doesn't have the right to go ask for something of yours. But if he takes an item, he puts milk into your cholent, so then it's basa b'chalav. That's not an intention. That's an actual fact, a maisa that was done that is not reversible, and therefore that's the distinction over here, that a person could be also something of somebody else if it's not dependent upon machshava. The milk in the cholent is not dependent upon machshava, but the vineyard in the grain, or bowing down to your friend's animal, that's dependent upon machshava, and therefore there could be a distinction, ain adam osu dover sheino shalo, when it comes to machshava. So basically, we now have two dinim that Rav Huna said we pass like Rav Yossi, and we have two dinim that Shmuel says we pass like Rav Yossi. So the obvious question is, what does each one of them do with the other one's din? Does Shmuel agree with Rav Huna, and does Rav Huna agree with Shmuel? So the Gemara says, Ibailu, the androgynous, this case of our Mishnah, the androgynous, that Rav Huna said we pass him like Rabbi Yossi, that says an androgynous is machil truma to his wife. So mali yomam Shmuel. What would Shmuel say in this situation? So Toshma, the Gemara says, the Yomar Shmuel Ravanan. Shmuel said to Ravanan, lesa lebraisa mekamid mestisa. This is from yesterday's share. Shmuel holds that we ignore the brisa that we brought down that said, and androgynous is a birya b'fnei atzmo, and we're not sure, the chacham weren't sure if it's a man or a woman halacha, and we ignore that, leisa lebrisa, mikami mesisin. We follow the Mishnah, which clearly holds what Rav Yossi says is a vadai, androgynous is a vadai male, and therefore we ignore the brisa in the setting of the Mishnah. So Shmuel would agree that the halacha is like Rav Yossi in the Mishnah. What about the next din that Rav Huna said? Harkova, mali omer Shmuel. What would Shmuel hold in regards to Harkova? Harkova, we said that Rav Huna, in the name of Rav, said that we paskid like Rav Yossi in regards to Harkova, which it's 2 weeks plus the 30 days. So what would Shmuel say? Toshma. Shmuel says the following. Doma le Shmuel Ravanun. Shmuel said to Ravanun, Tini keman doma shlosha ushloshim. No, he holds like Rav Yehuda, who says it's 3 plus the 30 days. Here he doesn't paskid like Rav Yossi. Now we ask, what would Rav Huna say for the two cases, Kishui and Kiddush, of Shmuel? Koshi, Mali Omar Rav, what is Rav's opinion? Rav Huna Omar Rav, what is his opinion in regards to the Koshi? Is it called that the labor, if it's for 2 weeks, like Rav Yossi, Rav Shimon said, that won't make the woman into a Zava, but if it's more than 2 weeks, it would? So we don't know what Rav would say, take it. We don't have an answer to that. And finally, what would Rav say in regards to Kiddush, the case where he put his vineyard over into the other person's grain field? Kiddush Mali Omar Rav, what would Rav say? Amar Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi says, Toshma. Then Rav Huna Amar Rav. Rav Huna said, Beferish, the name of Rav, ain't halachi Rav Yossi. We don't follow Rav Yossi in this situation. We would say the field would be kilayim. We wouldn't say, ain't adam osu davar, she'en oshalo. Rav Huna Amar Rav doesn't hold like this opinion, Rav Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara says, Amar Abai, my chaz is the samchis aha. Sumoch aha. Why over here are you telling me that we don't follow Rav Huna Amar Rav in the name of Rav Yossi? Why don't we say that we do follow the following Amar, who says that Rav did in fact hold like Rav Yossi? Smol chaha, the Amar Ravada Amar Rav. Ravada said in Amar Rav, halachic Rav Yossi, that we possibly like Rav Yossi in the case of Kiddush. So Gemara says, Amri Be Rav Manu, because this is Rav Ada Amar Rav, but we're asking, what about Rav Huna, which is Be Rav? Rav Huna is Be Rav. Amri Be Rav Manu, that's Rav Huna. Rav Huna Amar ain halacha. And we have Beferish, Rav Huna saying that the halacha is not like Rav Yossi. He says, in the name of Rav, the halacha is not like Rav Yossi in regards to Kiddush. Then we go back to quoting the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rav Yehuda Omer Tum Tum V'chulei. We said that Rav Yehuda holds that if you open up the membrane, the sheath that's covering up the Tum Tum's genitalia, and once you open him up and you see that he's a male, he's still nevertheless not a Luchalitza, because we're concerned that he is Sris, he is not capable of being fertile, and as we pointed out, only a fertile person can do Chalitza or Yibam. So Om Ravami said, my Ovid lay Rabbi Yehuda litumtum de Biri. What review would they have to say about this tumtum that was in the city of Biri, where it happened, those Vua Abe Kurse? They put him on the operating table, they placed him on this Abe Kurse, and the ikra, and they opened up the membrane, and they saw that he was a male, and then he went home to his wife, Olid Sheva Bnin, and he had 7 children. So how can you, Rav Yehuda, say that he's a Sris, he's incapable of having children? Here we have a Maisa Shahaya in the city of Biri. There was this Tumtum that they opened up his membrane, he was male, and he then fathered 7 children with his wife. What would you say about that, Rav Yehuda? You know what Rav Yehuda would say? The word says, Rav Yehuda, Amalach, Chazer Albonov, Me'ayinheim. As Rashi says, Me'ayinheim, Ishto Zinsa. Go see who the father is. It ain't him, because he's a Saris, and he's incapable of having children. So these 7 children this woman had were Nebuch or Mamzerim, because clearly the Saris couldn't be a father. So if there were children born to the Saris' wife, they Nebuch came from an adulterous relationship. Gemara continues, says, Tanya, we learn the following bright, so Rabbi Yossi, Bireb Yehuda Omer, Tumtum lo yachlot. A tumtum shouldn't do chalitza. And Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda says, Shema yikara v'nimtzus rizchama. Because maybe it'll turn out that if you open him up, maybe he'll be male and he'll be a rizchama. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. Ought to call the mikra zocher heavy? What, is it 100% of the time that this tumtum is male? No, it's 50-50. Half the time it's male, half the time it's female. So why are you saying that he can't do chalitza? Because maybe you're going to open him up and maybe he'll be a sris chama. Well, maybe he'll open up and he'll be a woman. And that's why he can't do the chalitza. So the Gemara says, no. Hachi kamar. This is what Rav Yossi is saying. Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda. He's saying as follows. Shema yikara, when you tear open his membrane, and he'll turn out to be a woman, v'nimtza nekeva, and that's why he can't do chalitza. And even if he's a man, v'afilu nimtza zochar, shema yimotze sris chama. Even if he's a zochar, he might be a sris chama. So that's what Rav Yossi, Rav Yehuda said. Now, my B'nai, what's the difference between Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, and his father? His father said also that the Tumtum is a Sris. He can't have children. So what's the difference between the two? Bottom line is, they both can't do Chalitza. So I'm a Rav. Rav says the difference is, live so b'mokum achim, the lachlots shelo b'mokum achim. There are two scenarios, two nafkaminas. Number one is, live so b'mokum achim. According to the father, Rabbi Yehuda, he is definitely a Sris. No doubt about it. And therefore, if there are other brothers, this tumtum slash sris chalatz, so that's the Rashi Dibur Masa, lives of Mokum Achim, Imesh Achim Shleimim Imo, there are other brothers there. The chalatz lo tumtum, and this tumtum did chalitza with Reuven's wife, with Rachel, the brother, the dead brother's wife, Lerav Yehuda, the Tanner of Yehuda, who says, Domar Shu Kisris, who says he's definitely a Sris, so Machzik Leg Bisris Vadai, he's a Vadai Sris, and therefore this Chalitza that was done by a Vadai Sris is of zero value. Lo Posla Achim Umisyavemus. The other brothers, Levi, Yehuda, Don, Naphtali, Gad, Yashi, all the other brothers, one of them can do Yibam even, never mind Chalitza, and that is perfectly good because the Chalitza that this Tumtum Sris did, he's a Vadai Sris, doesn't count at all. As opposed to Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Yehuda, it's a Shema. Maybe he's a Sris. He might be male, but he might not be a Sris. Maybe he's a Sris. Therefore, when Shimon, the Tumtum slash possible Sris, does Chalitza, so then none of the other brothers can do Yibam anymore, because maybe the Chalitza is a good Chalitza, and then it would be Eishes Ach Shalom B'Mokum Mitzvah. So they have to do Chalitza, because maybe the Chalitza is not good, but they no longer can do Yibam. So that's Nafkamin number one, Litzo B'Mokum Achim. Nafkamina number two is Lachlos Shelo B'Mokum Achim. Let's say there are no other brothers. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, this Sris doesn't have to do Chalitza. His Vadai is Sris, this Tumtum is Vadai is Sris, and therefore there's no point in doing Chalitza with the one brother, this Tumtum, because it's totally unnecessary. Whereas, according to Rav Yosef Yehuda, he should do Chalitza al Sofik. Maybe he's a Tumtum that's a Sris, but maybe he's not. So that's the second Nafkamina, when there are no other brothers, that Rav Yehuda would say, no need to do Chalitza, and Rav Yosef Yehuda would say, do Chalitza al Sofik. Then the Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Rav Shmuel Yehuda says, Amar Rabbi Abba. He said the name of Rabbi Abba. Who is Rabbi Abba? Achua de Rav Yehuda bar Zabdi. He was the brother of Yehuda bar Zabdi. In any event, this Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda said this over in the name of Rabbi Abba, who said it over, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, who said it over the name of Yehuda Amar Rav. Androgynous, Chayavin Olav Skila Mishte Makobos. We had discussed this yesterday. And androgynous has both Simone Nakvos and Simone Zachros. So this androgynous has a osomakum in a woman. He has the orifice that a woman has. And therefore he could undergo relations, normal vaginal relations, with a male. He also has a rectum, like everybody has a rectum, and unfortunately could undergo a homosexual relationship as well. So this is called the shtei makomos. He has two possible orifices that a male could have relations with him, through the nakvus that he has, or through what we call biyash lo kedarka, rectal intercourse. So this statement that was made in the name of Rav was that androgynous would get skila if he had relations with a man, irrelevant as to which orifice the man used, whether the man had what would be a normal vaginal relations with the androgynous through osomakum that he has, the nakvus that he has, or whether he did it through the rectum, the bia shalokidarka, both of them would be a chiyav of skila. Mason, he wore questions and says, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer tells us, androgynous chayv lov skila kivizochar, that Rabbi Eliezer says that the androgynous is only chayv skila if it's done via the rectum and not via the nakvus that he has. That's only if it's through the zachvus, which means there is no male orifice, so it would mean that he has rectal relations. This androgynous through the osomakum, the nakvus, the female genitalia that he has, while it's not allowed, nevertheless, potter, this would not be considered a homosexual relationship if the male had relations with the androgynous through the nakvus shalom. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with what Yehuda and Rav just said. So the Gemara says, because Yehuda and Rav has Tanoic support, it's not a problem. Rav, when he said his statement that Yechayev Bishtei Mekomos, that goes with the following Tanoic opinion. The Tanya, Rav Simoy Omer, Androgynous Chayev Lo Biskila Bishtei Mekomos, because he knows like this Tana, Rav Simoy. Okay, there's a whole bunch of discussion here. After all, Rabbi Eliezer was only one opinion. We had another opinion in the Mishnah that said that the Chacham hold that it's Mishtei Mekomos, so Rav is really holding like that Tana. So again, we're going through this discussion here. It seems to imply that Rav, when he makes a statement here, some of the Mefarshim explain that Rav was seemingly saying it's the Kuliyama. But here we clearly see that it's not Kuliyama. Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. So Gemara says, yeah, he never said it was Kuliyama. He's holding like the opinion of Rav Simoy. In any event, Rav certainly has Tanaic support for his Shita, the androgynous that has relations with a male, whether it's through the Nakvas or the Zachrus, Chayevan of Skila, Mishtei Mekomos. Now, why? My time with Rav Simoy, it's based upon Psukim, Amar Rava, Bar Hamduri Asperli, Bar Hamduri was another Amora, and he explained to Rava the following reasons, because the Pasuk says, the Es Zohar Lo Sishkav Mishkevei Isha. Now it says, this Zohar shouldn't have both relations, Mishkevei Isha. So, Eiz Zohar Sheish Bo Shnei Mishkavos, what man could possibly have two Mishkavos? A man normally only has the rectum. He only has the Zachris potential, the rectum. So, what male has two potentials? Oh, it must be Heviomer Ze Androgynous. It must be this androgynous that has both the Nakvos and the rectum. So, therefore, that's what Bar Hamduri told Rava to explain Rav Simoy, the Shtei Mekomos. Knew the Rabbanon. The opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. So, Afal gav this be shtei mishkavos, even though he has the shtei makomos, he has the nakvos, and he also has the rectum. Nevertheless, Rebbe Eliezer holds you only chayv if you have relations like a normal, typical homosexual relations through the rectum, but not in this unusual situation where the androgynous has nakvos, he has a vagina. So that would not be considered in this situation an iser of skila. Why is this? Because he holds, the Pasuk says, as Zohar Kisiv, it's only considered a homosexual relationship if it's via rectal, Biashlokidarka relations, and not if it's in the unusual situation where the androgynous has both Zachrus and Nakvus. No, Rabbanon, Zohar Gredo Minolhu. So wait a second, if this is talking about an androgynous, and the Pasuk is telling us only through the rectum is it considered skila prohibition, but through the nakvas of the androgynous, it's not. So how do we know in general that zohar greda, that the normal homosexual relationship is prohibited? How do we know that it's not only talking about the androgynous, teaching us the zachrushlo? So where it says that's based upon, and the Bach changes around the years, he says from the word the es zohar lo sishkav mishkevei isha toivahi. So that's what we learned it out from the extra word the es. This is where the Bach has the right girsa. And then the Gemara continues, and this is also based upon the Bach. He says, how do we know Isha Shalo Kidarka Minole? Now, what about a woman who has relations that are rectal relations? How do we know that if there was a forbidden relationship, that you transgress the forbidden relationship, whether it's vaginal or rectal relations with a woman? So here the Masor Sashas tells us that's learned out from the S. That's the way the Masor Sashas learns it out. Others learn it out from the word, the way it says Isha in the Pasuk. The Pasuk ends off and says Mishkevei Isha. It didn't have to say Mishkevei Isha. It could have just said there's Zohar Lo Sishkav Mishkevei. When it says Isha, so that teaches us that this applies to a woman, that any prohibited relationship between a man and a woman, so then they're over the Isser if they have either Bia Kedarka or Bia Shalo Kedarka. Now the Gemara continues and says, Amr Rav Shizvi, Amr Chista. Rav Shizvi says the name of Chista. Lo la kol omar Rabbi Eliezer androgynous zochum ayu. We learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer holds that an androgynous is a male, but it's not a male in regards to every single situation of an androgynous. Where do we find the exceptions? Shema ato omer kain, because if you were to say that he holds in all situations we treat the androgynous as a definitely vaday male, so then bimukdoshin, if you were to go and be makdish an androgynous animal, so then it would, in fact, yikdosh. According to Rabbi Lez's opinion, if it was always an androgynous as a vaday zohar, so if you were to go take a sheep that was an androgynous sheep, and you were to be makdish it, you would be able to go and sacrifice it in those korbanos that you require a male animal, yikdosh, you would be able to go and sacrifice it. But that's not true. Umilalam de lo kodesh. But the din is that it's not kodesh. So how do we know that Rabbi Lez would agree with that din? Because the Tana Rabbanan. We learn the following brisa. This price is talking about a bird offering, a ben yonah or a tor, that's brought, let's say, as a chatos. So if this bird had been hanirba, if this bird had, rachmana litzlan, been the recipient, Nebuch, of a man coming on this bird and having relations with this bird, or of a mukta, or if the bird was designated to be a carbon avodah zarah, or as nevad, it was worshipped as avodah zarah, or for esnan, this bird was used to pay Nebuch a zona for her services, or mechir, or this bird was used for an exchange for a dog. So all of these things are making this not a good carbon. V'tumtum, and here it tells us, v'tumtum v'androgynous, if this bird was either a tumtum or an androgynous, in all of these situations, the malika that the Kohen did on this only works for a carbon. And in these situations, it wouldn't make it into a kosher shchita equivalent, which is normally the way you go and shecht a bird. You don't shecht it in the normal way you shecht an animal, but you do malika. The Kohen's right fingernail on his thumb is allowed to grow long, and instead of shchita, which is only done from the front to the back, you go and you take the right fingernail of the thumb and you pierce the neck of this bird. You do the equivalent of shchita called malika from the back to the front with the right fingernail thumb, and in this situation, the bird is now considered mutu le'achila. It's considered a kosher shchita equivalent, and if it's a chatas, the pirchei kohen are allowed to eat this chatas. So in this situation, if this bird had malika done to it, but it had these other averas done to it, including if it was a tumtur and androgynous, mitamen begodan be'sabliya. So the eating of a nevela, of a bird, so that is only metamiyu in the be'sabliya. When you eat it, it goes into your throat, so at that point in time, it's metamiyu and the clothing that you're wearing. That is the opinion of the Tanakama, that this does apply. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, but we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds, no. He says, tumtum v'androgynous, eimitam v'begodem v'besabliya. Here, the tumtum v'androgynous would not ruin this carbon. As a bird, they don't, the malika works on them. Why is that? Sh'arulezer omer, because Rulezer holds, kolmokum sh'nemar zohar nekeva, wherever the Torah tells us you have to take a zohar or a nekeva, in that situation, atamotzi tumtum v'androgynous v'vineyim. Then you can't use a tumtum v'androgynous. It must be a vade zohar, vade nekeva. But, be'ov, by a bird, by bird offering, it makes no difference. The Olo, the Chatas, bird offering, never tells us you have to bring male, have to bring female. It just says bring a bird. There is no gender requirement by the Olo or the Chatas of a Torah Ben Yonah for bird offerings. So therefore, Yatamotzi Tumtum Yandrogonus Binayim. Therefore, by birds, there is no psul of Tumtum and Androgynous. Tumtum and Androgynous is only psul by animals where it has to be either a male or a female animal. And therefore, what do you see from here? Rabbi Eliezer doesn't treat the androgynous as a vade male in regards to kachim, because by animals, it does ruin it if it's an androgynous or tumtum. But if Rabbi Eliezer's opinion was it's a vade male, so then it wouldn't ruin it by animals. From the fact that we see that it does ruin it by animals, it only doesn't ruin it by birds, which don't require male or female. So therefore, you clearly see that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold that an androgynous is always considered zocha ma'ayu. It's only in certain situations, such as in our Gemara, where he says that the androgynous is a vaday male, and Rachmanu Lusan, if he has relations with another man, would be chayiv skila. Okay, so that's the proof, number one, that we have that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't hold that he's always considered the androgynous a zocha ma'ayu. On Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, I have a different proof. Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak says, I have another proof. We learned in the following Mishnah in Temura, where it tells us there, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer holds, and we turn to Pei Dalet Amud Aleph, as we get very close to the end of this beautiful eighth perek in Yevamos, where it says over there, Hakilayim Utireifa. Rabbi Eliezer holds that an animal that is kilayim, the animal is not allowed to be, as Rashi tells the top Rashi, it's posel akrov, the siv shor o chesed. The R O tells us it must be a vadai shor, a vadai kesef, and not some sort of a hybrid between these species. So a kilayim animal is no good to be brought as a korban. Utrefa, an animal that's a trefa, is no good to be brought as a korban. Beotzi dofen, an animal that came out via cesarean section, is not able to be brought as a korban. A tumtum and an androgynous, we said previously, lo kedoshin, none of these are able to become a korban. They can't become kedushas haguf, lo mekachin. And likewise, if you were to do tamura with them, try to exchange the kedusha that they have onto another animal, so it wouldn't work. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. And Shmuel comments on this and says, "V'omer Shmuel lo kedoshin b'tmura." They can't become kadosh. They don't get kedushas haguf even via tmura. That if somebody else did a tmura onto them, they wouldn't become kadosh with kedushas haguf. V'lo mekachin b'osa tmura. And likewise, they couldn't be exchanged onto another animal to make the other animal kedushas haguf. So they don't become via tumur themselves, and they can't cause via tumur some other animal to become kedushas haguf. Oh, what do you see from here? Shema mina, it's not a vadai. Androgynous is not a vadai male, otherwise it would be able to. So clearly you see, again from here as well, the Rebbe Elazar holds it's not vadai under all circumstances a vadai male. Finally, we quote the Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar Omer, Chayavin of Skila Kizohar, that Rebbe Elazar holds that the androgynous were to go and have a homosexual relationship with another man, so then it would be a chiv of Skila. So, the Gemara says, Tani, we learn the following bright, so Omer Rebbe, Rebbe says, Kishalati Lemo Torah, Eitzah Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua. When I went to learn Torah with the Tana Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, Chavru Lai Tamidov, his Tamidim all gathered around me, Kitar Negolim Shal Beis Bukya, like the chickens of Beis Bukya. Rashi says, Bakiim V'Charifim, they're very sharp and they're very expert. Vein Manichin Tarnagol Nochri Binem, and they wouldn't let any other Tarnagol come into their chicken coop. So these chickens there were very stark, and therefore the Talmidim referred to like these chickens that were very stark, and they didn't let me say, V'lo Yinichuni Lilmot Ela Dover Echob Mishnah Seno. They didn't let me say over everything from the Mishnah. They only let me say over this following statement that Rebbe Elazar Omer and Androgynous Chayvin of Skila Kizohar. They let me say over that Rebbe Elazar holds that the androgynous is Vaday a male and we get Skila if he would have relations with another man. This concludes the beautiful eighth parak, Hadron Lecha Oral, Hadron Lecha Oral, Hadron Lecha Oral, and today's share.